You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Come on around back, Arizona. It is the fourth Saturday of the month. And in the years I've been doing this, this is the first time I've ever had a five-month February.
Oh, right.
Yeah. A five-week month in February.
Yeah, exactly.
But I said that
Saturday.
Right.
I know what you mean. Five Saturdays
it's
in February.
February.
Yeah.
Wow. And it doesn't have anything to do with Betelgeuse or the supernova or anything like that. It's just a leap year, and it happened to be that the very first day of February was a Saturday, and the last day is our leap year today, February 29th. And Farmer Greg, it's another weird coincidence. It's raining today, and you're teaching rain harvesting today.
Right.
And we're talking aquaponics.
Yeah, exactly.
So much wetness on one day.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, and I love aquaponics. I actually started playing with aquaponics in the 70s. My first business here in town, I used to clean service and build fish ponds for people, and I used to convert people's fish ponds into aquaculture ponds, or I'm sorry, I used to convert
swimming
their
pools.
Swimming pools into aquaculture ponds so they could grow fish in their swimming pool. And so I was playing with that in the late 70s and early 80s when I was in my teens. So this is a return to home. I love this conversation.
Aquaponics. And you've got brought a special guest in with you as well.
I have. This is Chris Gardner. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks. And it's nice. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Chris has been playing with aquaponics for a long time. He's one of the members of our growphx.com organization. We have a networking group where we have put together people that know how to do this kind of stuff so that when I get a phone call and somebody says, hey, I need to do aquaponics, or I need to do sprinklers for my yard, or I need a chicken coop built, growphx.com is where we send them to help with those things. And Chris is one of our members, and he does sprinklers.
Irrigation and garden starts.
Irrigation and garden starts and aquaponics. So what is aquaponics?
Oh, aquaponics is the combination of two words, aquaculture, which most people have a familiarity with,
fish
is
farming.
Raising of fish.
Yep.
And hydroponics. Now, hydroponics is a method to grow plant roots by circulating water and nutrients through a soilless media. So aquaponics is the integration of aquaculture and hydroponics to grow food in a constructed environment.
Oh, wow.
So your fish plus plants in an ecosystem equals food.
Well, and this is really permaculture-like. So permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. This is very permaculture-like because the system is kind of self-powered, right?
It's self-promoting. The fish reproduce, and all we really add is fish food mm-hmm. and water on occasion to top off the tank, and occasionally chelated iron. There's no iron in the fish food, so you have to add that. All the other nutrients are in the fish food, and the fish make the plant nutrients out of the fish food with the help of bacteria.
And there you go. So basically what's happening is the fish are pooping.
Yes.
That water's going into the hydroponics area. The plants are cleaning the water.
Actually, the bacteria are cleaning the water.
Oh, very good. Okay, good.
So the bacteria, when the fish poop... Mm-hmm. They poop, there's a lot of nitrogen in their poop.
Right.
But and plants need nitrogen, but not the form of nitrogen that comes out of poop. And so that form of nitrogen is ammonia. And so as the water circulated through the media beds, that ammonia is converted to nitrite mm-hmm. by the bacteria, and then that nitrite's converted to nitrate, which is the form of nitrogen the plants use.
Oh, very good. So it's the nitrogen cycle that's essentially...
It's the nitrogen cycle, yes.
Wow, cool. Tell us about your aquaponics garden in your backyard, because I know you have a couple of them, right?
We've got two of them. I initially started with an IBC tote. Those are integrated bulk containers. And mine's about 3 feet by 3 feet by about 4 feet. And it holds about 300 gallons. And that tank, I use that as my fish tank. And it's half buried in the earth to help regulate temperature. And then I have another, I have two media beds, and essentially those are the IBC totes cut in half and then
flipped over
so they become media beds.
Mm-hmm.
And those are about a foot deep, filled with soilless media. Some people use gravel. and you use a pump to pump water from the fish tank up into the media bed. The media bed fills up, and then it gets to a certain point, and then there's a siphon. It reverse siphons and empties the bed of all the water into the fish tank, and then the plant roots are able to breathe air.
Interesting.
And then the tank slowly fills up. The tank fill, the media bed fills with the nutrient water. The plants use that, and then it drains. And the plants are able to, the plant roots are able to breathe.
Interesting. Well, and at the same time, oxygen's going into that water so that the fish can breathe.
Yes, and that's a key point. And that's one of our challenges here in Arizona, is the extreme temperature. Mm-hmm. As it gets hot, less oxygen is able to stay in the water. And so it's, if you have a lot of fish and it gets hot, you might have some issues. And when the power goes out, it's a scramble.
Oh, I'll bet.
It's a scramble.
I'll bet. Yeah, that would be a problem.
I remember one year we had a big storm. I had to take off from work, pull my car in the driveway, and connect an air bubbler from my car.
Your cigarette lighter.
Yeah. So it was about 110 outside. I'm sitting in my van all day trying to do work while keeping my fish alive. But they survived. They
nice.
Survived.
Wow.
So okay. You have to be ready for that.
Now, what are you growing plant-wise?
Depends on the season. Right now, it's great because we're growing a lot of green veggies, chard, kale.
Bok choy.
Anything that has a shallow root system that doesn't require a low pH does really well. In the summer, we grow a lot of basil. Does really well in aquaponics.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mint does really well. And as far as a flower, mm-hmm. Tropical milkweed is a beautiful flower. Pollinators love it, and it's sort of unique to have that in Maricopa County.
Yeah, why would you grow something you can't eat?
Because it's a pollinator. It's good for the pollinators.
Good.
We are committed to encouraging pollinator development and growth by planting natives.
Is this the
and
same
flowers.
Milkweed?
And milkweed is very specific for one of the pollinators, right?
It's specific for a lot of the butterflies. Mm-hmm. We have not seen one monarch yet. But we see a lot of queen butterflies and painted ladies. They're all over that.
Oh, nice.
I was going to say, the milkweed, does that produce monarch butterflies too as well? Is that a different type of milkweed?
Monarch butterflies, they tend to migrate along waterways. And so where we would find monarch butterflies would be along the Salt River pathway. They found a lot of them at the Audubon Center on Central and the river.
Oh, nice.
Would be a good place to look for monarchs.
You've mentioned, did you have something?
Well, yeah, so that's what we're growing plant-wise. What kind of fish meat am I getting?
Oh, by far.
I'm a sucker for halibut.
Oh, not halibut. By far, the most popular fish in Maricopa County are tilapia. They are a fish from Africa, so they're well adjusted to the high temperatures that we have here in Arizona, Maricopa County, compared to like a trout. That's more of a cool water fish, I would presume.
Well, and trout actually need running water.
Right.
You couldn't put them in a pond. They're not going to like a pond. But you could raise tilapia. You could raise bluegill.
I like catfish po' boys. Could I
absolutely
stick some
sure.
catfish in there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just have to have a big
sandwich.
Bigger pond. you know, the size of how many gallons is your fish pond? Maybe
it's about 200 gallons.
Yep.
And you can get about one fish for every 5 gallons of water is comfortable.
And that's tilapia.
That's of the tilapia.
That's
yeah.
the tilapia. With catfish, it's going to go down a little.
You'd
bit.
Only get like one or two in something that size.
Yeah, maybe a little few more than that. But
yeah. So we've got the tilapia for fish meat. They're also, their natural life cycle is providing the nutrients for these plants that are natural to their life cycle. So it's we're producing two different types of food here. We both vegetable and fish.
Right. And so we actually at Urban Farm, we have an online course on aquaponics. So you can, you know, it's a 7-week online course. You can dive in and learn all about aquaponics. It's called the Fish Powered Garden.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fish-powered garden. Fish 7 weeks.
Fish-powered garden, yeah.
Is this like a 8 to 5 every day?
No. 7 hours.
7 hours. Yeah, okay.
7 hours, but you could learn all about it. But the point, my point was, this is called a fish-powered garden. So it's really the fish that are propelling the system forward.
And then, as I'm harvesting the fish, you know, the Indians used to put fish in with their corn to make it grow. Are you composting that and using?
Yeah, we harvest the fish. Generally, we do a big fish harvest in the fall. The larger the fish are, the harder time they have in the winter. When the water temperature gets below 55 degrees Fahrenheit, that's the kill zone for fish, so especially for the larger fish. So we harvest the larger fish in the fall, and we let the small and medium-sized fish remain in the tank. Right now I've got maybe 20 fish in my tank that have survived, and then those fish will grow through the spring. And once the water gets to about 80 degrees, they'll reproduce, and I'll have a tank full of little fry, and those fry will, through the summer, will grow into mature fish. Their parents will be on the dinner plate that fall. During the summer, as the fish mate and the tank gets bigger and the fish grow out, we'll take the males and harvest those throughout the summer to keep space in the tank for the younger guys and the females to grow out.
That sounds like quite a job, standing there trying to pull out which one's just the male.
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult to sex fish. What I generally do is I have a 5-gallon bucket, and I harvest them one at a time. And the tilapia are mouth breeders, so the females will have the fry in their mouth. So when you harvest a fish and you put them in the 5-gallon bucket, if you see a bunch of fry, that's a female.
Interesting.
And more. You put her back. Well, actually, I keep them, harvest more until I get some good males. And
all right, here's a guy back. That can't grow anything, and I want to ask you when we get back, raising fish. It sounds like a very, very water-intensive industry, and we're doing it in the middle of the desert?
Cool.